Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the radio podcast for the community of BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and in this edition, we'll be finding out about the new Chief Technology Officer role, and we have your questions. As well as that, there's some very interesting kit on the desk in front of me, and we'll find out more about that and exactly what it is later in the programme. Joining me as always, of course, is BAE Systems Chief Executive Charles Woodburn. Charles, welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Very good to be here again.
And also joining us is Nigel Whitehead, now still currently BAE Systems Group Managing Director of Programmes and Support, but from January the 1st, 2018, the company's first Chief Technology Officer. Nigel, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm champing at the bit.
Now, this is our December edition, and many colleagues will be starting to get into the holiday spirit, so we have something of a twist on this edition of the show. In front of me, I have some festive crackers. Now, here in the UK, we know what crackers are, but if you're listening outside the UK and you don't know what I'm talking about when I say cracker, it's something that we pull traditionally at Christmas, which contains a silly hat and silly joke and things like that. And throughout the show, I'll get you to pull a cracker and answer a question inside. How does that sound, Charles?
Well, let's see how it goes. It's the first I've heard of that one.
I figured it probably was. Yeah, Nigel, are you happy with this or not?
Oh, yeah, I assume there'll be some bad jokes in there as well.
We'll find out. Why don't you pull the first cracker, gentlemen, please?
Okay, so I won that. Oh, right. What posters did you have on your wall as a teenager? Debbie Harry.
Debbie Harry. I had Debbie Harry. Yeah. as an older teenager. And Charles, any memories of posters on your wall as a teenager?
Well, I was rather more boring. I had cars on my wall than I had.
Any particular cars you can remember?
I'm pretty sure there was a Lamborghini Countach on there somewhere, and probably a Porsche 911.
Right, let's get down to business, Charles. First of all, bring us up to date with the latest since we last met, which was only about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, very busy few weeks as we reached the end of the year, just pedalling hard to get results over the line and also set up all of the objectives for next year so that we can hit the ground running with the new organisation on January the 1st.
And Nigel, with your UK programmes and support hat on, you've recently passed another major milestone in the carrier programme, I believe.
Fantastic. Yeah, this programme's been going on since 1997, when the government determined that it wanted a carrier capability, and we've been intrinsically involved in the programme since then. And yes, Queen Elizabeth I in the class of two was commissioned on the 7th, which was just brilliant, and I was there. But that is just a symbol, a moment in time. A huge team has put a huge effort into carrier for a very long period, and just great to get to that point where it's handed over to the Royal Navy.
Well, congratulations on that, and a fabulous occasion. Tell us also about the recent Oxford Economics report.
Yeah, this is quite a serious independent study into the economic impact that BAE Systems has in the UK economy, starting with the fact that, and this is the real attention grabber from my perspective, of every £100 of economic activity there is in the UK, gross domestic product, 57 pence of that is associated with BAE Systems. So we're definitely on the map. If you look at our regional spread across the UK, of the 391 local authority areas across the UK, we are making an economic contribution in all but 9 of them. So we're spread widely across the UK. And in fact, there's over 130,000 jobs in the UK associated with our activities. So it's been a really momentous report, something which I think we should be very proud of.
Okay, thanks very much, Charles and Nigel. Now, I'm looking forward to talking to you both about the new Chief Technology Officer role in a moment. But before we do that, we'll be getting hands-on with some high-tech gear right here in the studio. That's coming next. Well, joining me to explain exactly what we are looking at now is Rob Merriweather. Rob is the Director of Strategic Growth for Electronic Systems in Rochester. Rob, welcome to the programme.
Hello.
You work within the Electronic Systems business, which is part of BAE Systems Inc., but you're based in Rochester in the UK. So is that correct?
Yes, yeah, that is correct. We're actually the only ES site in the UK. We've got about 1,300 of us. We're the vanguard, I guess, of the Inc. business into the UK.
And what do the team in Rochester focus on then primarily?
Historically, our products have been primarily around displays, flight controls, avionics, air-based equipment. But we're doing a lot more over the last year or so to increase our representation of ES and get a broader footprint of that business into the UK and increase the profile of BAE as an electronic systems provider, in addition to the platform roles that the PLC business has traditionally filled.
So what I've got in front of me then look very much like a pair of wraparound sunglasses, the kind of sunglasses that you'd go skiing with, perhaps. They're slightly larger than that. The actual visors are slightly bigger than your normal sunglasses. And if I look through them, what I can see is, I can see you guys all here in the studio. Overlaid on that vision are some green lights. Now, can you explain what they are?
Yeah, so you've got symbols providing information to the user. So you've got a compass heading at the top that's stabilised. So as you move your head left and right, you get a bearing. You've also got objects that are loaded into an information system, so you can actually move and see symbols that will highlight actual objects in, be that the battle space or be that more commercial applications as well. The other thing we can add to that is I can provide a thermal image overlaid on that symbology as well. So you're now seeing the heat signature of the people in the room.
I can now see a heat signature of all of you guys, Charles and Nigel as well.
I can't help laughing at how Tim is pointing into the room like we can see what he sees, but no,
it's
we can't.
It's a natural reaction, isn't it?
Of
and
course
also,
it
I have
is,
to
yeah.
hold these on because, unbelievably, they're too big for my head. But this is technology, what, in the early stages, or is this already being applied to certain parts of the business?
In that form, it's in the early stages. So we've taken the kind of optics that historically have only gone into fast jets like Typhoon. We're miniaturizing that down, bringing the cost down, allowing to get it into a glasses format that opens up that application to a whole bunch of users. So that's a product that we would hope to launch probably within the next 12 months. What you see at the moment is an early concept of what that product might look like.
Okay, could I take these off now? Because it's quite disconcerting to see your thermo images up close. It's the kind of thing that we see, as you say, fighter pilots using. It's a heads-up, hands-free display system. Does it have other commercial uses, or is that something you're trying to look at in the future?
No, it absolutely has commercial uses. As we've shown that, we've got pull for military customers around things like bomb disposal suits and soldiers on the battlefield. We've also, probably the most interesting one, is an engagement with one of the major sports car manufacturers about using that display on track day, so you can overlay the racing line and you can provide that kind of feedback and enhanced experience for the operators of these prestige products. So it's opening up a range of opportunities to work with businesses that historically, BAE Systems wouldn't find a natural fit with, which is fantastic for us.
And as well as those commercial applications, Rob, of course, there are business applications as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're working with the maritime business about providing augmented reality to ship's captains on the bridge. We're also working with the UK land business with AR as well. So it's opening up a lot of opportunities for collaboration within the business as well as those external opportunities.
Charles, later in the podcast, we're going to be looking at how BAE Systems teams can collaborate more on technology and innovation. This seems like a brilliant example of that.
Fantastic. And I think, as you say, is you get the quantity and the price points down, the range of applications just broadens enormously. And I think that, adding information to what you see is will have a profound applications in future.
Okay, Rob, thank you very much indeed for bringing this into the studio. Oh, and before you go, Rob, perhaps you'd like to join us for a cracker. We're doing this thing on this edition of the podcast. If you pull that one with Nigel, you've got the question in there, I think. Maybe you could read it out for us.
What was the first record you bought?
Oh, that's a good one.
It was Bonnie Tyler, Holding Out for a Hero.
Okay, we won't hold that against you. Charles, the first record you ever bought?
Actually, mine was the first I bought was a CD, and it was one of the first CDs. It was Dire Straits' Brothers in Arms.
Oh, that's way
okay.
cooler than mine.
Yep, we'll go with that one. And Nigel?
Yeah, mine was the Paul McCartney album Ram.
Oh, that gets the most kudos here, I'm afraid. But thank you very much. Rob, listen, thanks again for joining us. I'm coming up next, we're back with Nigel Whitehead.
Our conversation.
Now, we spoke last month, Charles, about the organisational changes, including the creation of a new role, Chief Technology Officer. We'll chat with Nigel about that in just a moment. But first, can you just remind us of your thinking when creating this new role?
It's really around harnessing the power of the global enterprise. I mean, we've historically run technology as within the business lines, and we've done some great work, and we still do great work within the business lines. But there is a layer at the business, at the enterprise level, where I think we can do more and get more out of the business. And technology innovation, as you know, is one of my three areas of sort of focus for the group. And it's worth recalling the fact that we spend as a business, substantial funds on R&D, over £1 billion a year. And there's a lot of investment that comes in from our customers there, you know, UK MOD and in the US, similar funding bodies in the US like DARPA. But I think one of the important things for us to do is we'd like to spend, and I think there's a good argument for us to spend more company money into R&D. But to do that, you need a framework, you need a group and a global framework to do that. And an important part of the CTO function is to create that framework and allow us to make decisions across the group as to if we're going to put, you know, company money to work, are we better off doing that in electronic systems in the US, for example, or military air in the UK, or, I mean, there's many places, applied intelligence, there's many places which are fertile areas for us to invest, internal R&D resources. But the role of the chief technology officer is absolutely critical to make sure that that's money well spent and is going to the right places within the group.
Okay, well, let's follow on from that then, Nigel. Just break down the new role for us and what parts of the business does it bring together?
Okay, well, I've been with the company for some 33 years, and in that time, I've got a picture of what's going on in the company, and one of my contentions is that we are riding on a whole lot of the great strategic investments that were made quite a while ago. So my contention is there are some things we need to be doing now that will make a big impact on our business in the medium and long term. So to aid that, we are pulling together a central technology team, as Charles said, together with the strategy and planning team, but also the functional responsibility for engineering, project management, support, manufacturing, and we've never actually had a manufacturing director before, so this is important for us, together with information management and technology. And individually, each of those areas has a whole lot to offer in terms of making sure that we can deliver what we promise our customers will deliver, and that we plan and we can execute our future strategies in each of those teams. But together, those functions have a much more attractive sum of parts. And that's really what I will be attempting to pull together, where engineering will talk better to manufacturing, will integrate the whole lot with our approach to project management and risk management, that the IM&T systems that are there to support it will be integrated. And the idea is, as with technology, we'll invest once and use many times across the group.
You clearly have a vision of what you want to achieve.
Yes, yeah, so, it's born of, yes, a vision of technology, but it's also born of some frustration, because I've been in significant operational roles essentially for a couple of decades, and I know what holds projects up. I know what causes difficulties in the organisation, and I am hell-bent on sorting those things out and making sure that we have the sort of functional support that our major delivery leaders deserve, and that will project us into the position where we can satisfy all of the elements of Charles's framework around operational excellence and competitive edge and technology.
And the success of any new initiative is very much governed by colleagues taking it to heart and getting involved. How can they be involved in the CTO organisation and also in its goals?
Well, that's a great question. And the truth is that the real strength in our organisation is in the 80,000 employees. We have a huge reservoir of knowledge, experience, and in some cases, pent-up frustration with people who've been desperate to actually make that sort of contribution. And I will be consciously harvesting that across the organisation and making sure that we can tap into all of that energy, all of those ideas. And in that sense, the CTO team, only an email away.
And Charles, of course, mentioned collaboration as a key theme for the business going forward. Presumably collaboration going to be a key element of your new role.
It's huge, yeah. And great technologies have been developed by companies and organisations beyond the realm of defence. And I'm going to go out and seek relationship with those organisations and companies and seek to bring their technologies into a defence domain. So it's a new outlook, a broad scanning capability being set up in the team to work out where that technological development is and actually bring it into our domain. The collaboration with other organisations starts actually with BAE Systems, actually collaborating between various parts of BAE Systems, and in particular the team on the other side of the Atlantic. Great relationship with Tom Arsenault, and he and I have spent the last 18 months looking for areas where our US team can collaborate with the UK and the rest of the world teams. And we found lots of areas where we can collaborate, and some really surprising and exciting areas where we didn't think we could talk to each other, but we have permission from our governments to do that. So just a whole reservoir of opportunity there, just dying to tap into that.
Okay, Nigel, thank you very much. Right, coming up next, we have questions from your colleagues.
Our conversation.
Well, every month we give you the chance to ask your questions, and on the line now is Stephen Brown. Stephen is only a few weeks into his new role with Applied Intelligence. Stephen, hello. How's it going so far?
It's been really exciting, thoroughly enjoying it. So far, so good.
Brilliant. And it's another good way to start your new role by chatting with the boss. You're through to Charles. What's your question, please?
Well, hi, Charles. Hi, Nigel.
Hello.
Hi there.
I wanted to ask you about entrepreneurship at BAE Systems and how we can encourage teams to be more entrepreneurial.
That's a very good question. I think it's fair to say that being entrepreneurial is definitely a state of mind. And I would reflect on the couple of the company values of being innovative and bold. I think it fits very well with that. And I think it's fair to say, just as I've been around the group, there are parts of the business that I would characterize as very entrepreneurial. And there are parts of the business that are not so entrepreneurial simply because they haven't had to be in the past. And yet, as the business moves and in the journey that we're on, I think it is important that we do become more entrepreneurial. And I think that's really around, you know, encouraging people to come forward with their ideas and empowering them. You know, part of it is to, you know, to listen and to be open to the new ideas and allowing people to have, you know, ownership of doing things better. And then there's the sharing component, the bits we were talking about earlier about collaboration. You know, when something works in one part of the business, you know, let's make sure that the others learn about that so that we can use it and we can use, you know, our best minds on all of these problems. And it's not just, you know, R&D, but business models and the way that we approach the challenges of our customers is all around this entrepreneurial mindset. Nigel, do you have any thoughts on that one?
Oh, I do. And the whole idea of people actually being given permission to innovate. Innovate seems to be at the centre of this. The reality is we all need to innovate all the time. One of the things I can do in the CTO role is think about the framework that we create and maybe even some funding that can be made available for some of the great ideas that are brought up around the organisation.
So, Stephen, I mean, any thoughts from you? I mean, would you, you know, have any ideas as how we can become more entrepreneurial?
Well, I don't want to share my best ideas on a podcast. You know, I don't want people stealing them.
Good answer.
Now, I do find that there's sort of a misconception towards entrepreneurship when it comes to large organizations. Really, what entrepreneurship sort of embodies is how you can take a process or a product that already exists and transform it into a more efficient or more suitable process. So if you look at some of the famous entrepreneurs of the day, people like Richard Branson, he didn't invent aeroplanes and how to fly. What he did was he innovated the process that was there and the service that was being delivered to the customers.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much indeed for that question. Well, our next question comes from Kathy Stacey, who's a communications manager for Shared Services in Preston. Kathy, hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hello there.
You're through to Charles and Nigel. What's your question, please?
Hi, Charles. Hi, Nigel. I've got a bit of a cheeky question. How are you both planning to unwind during the holiday? And what does a typical Christmas involve in the Woodburn and Whitehead household?
You want to go first, Nigel?
Oh, go on then. Hi, Cathy. It is a cheeky question, but I don't mind sharing. It's a family Christmas, so my daughter and a boyfriend are coming for Christmas, and we've got a party at New Year with my younger daughter as well and her husband, and we've promised ourselves we're going to watch the second series of The Crown, which I'm looking forward to, and if the weather's half decent, I'm going to get out into the garden, and I've also got a private project where I'm painting a horse. Now, that sounds like a very messy process, but in actual fact, I paint. And I'm painting a picture of a horse, so I've got that to complete, and I'm enjoying that at the moment. So a bit of that over Christmas, that'll be fun.
Crikey, I wish my Christmas was that well organised. What about yours, Charles?
Well, mine is just a quiet family Christmas. We try and do that every year. We're all getting together. My daughter's coming back from university, and we'll just have some quiet family time together. Be lots of movies in the evening to watch, and good time with the family.
Okay, sounds good. I think that's answered your question. Kathy, what are you doing at this festive period?
I've just recently joined BAE Systems from the emergency services, so this is the first time in 16 years that I've not been on call at Christmas.
Wow.
So I'm really looking forward to that, not having any interruptions for the week.
May I ask which of the emergency services you were with?
I've worked for both, actually. I spent 10 years with fire, and before that, 6 years with police,
wow.
Both in Lancashire. Had a great time, but it was time for a new challenge.
Well, welcome to BAE.
Thank you very much.
Kathy, thanks very much indeed for that question. And indeed, Stephen, thank you for your question. If you'd like to get your question to Charles or indeed other senior leaders like Nigel, do please get in touch with us. Just drop an email to ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. Remember, you can also comment on the show or maybe give us your suggestions for what you'd like to hear featured on future editions of the podcast. That's nearly it for this podcast, and indeed for this year. Charles, many of your colleagues, of course, will be taking a seasonal break and recharging for the new year. What's your message to them?
Well, I think we're all going to be pushing hard for year end, but you know, when the time comes and we do get a chance to unwind over the holiday season, I think we should absolutely take the chance, because I think next year is going to be another very busy year for the group.
And Nigel, similar thoughts for you. Good luck with the new job on January the 1st.
Thank you, yes. Fresh mind, coming in raring to go, and it all laid out in front of me. It's going to be good.
And I hope you get that horse painted okay, because yes, you're not going to have time to finish it in 2018. Hopefully you'll come and see us again now you've been to the studio once.
Try stopping me.
And thanks also to Rob Merriweather, and thank you for bringing that technology in. We'll be back in January with more news and features from across the BAE Systems community. But for now, from me, Tim Smith, Nigel Whitehead, and of course Charles Woodburn, it's goodbye and happy holidays.
Our conversation, back next month.